Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 Radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinosa, with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. Opening and closing narration is provided by Gene Brister. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now, let's join our co-hosts, Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to your weekly wellness radio show, Let's Talk About It. This program is brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. I'm your host, Patricia Arevalo-Caro. Please note that if you would like to listen to one of our shows or share a podcast, we would love to have you do that. Just go to kxoradio.com and go to the Let's Talk About It and Expressate links on the right side of the page. You can search for a show or a topic of interest and feel free to share it. Share it to somebody that you think may need it, or just as information. It never hurts to have some information when friends or family may need it. We have radio show calendars that are posted on our county website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. Our website also lists all our different programs and contact information. Here at the Center for Clinical Training, we do offer public service trainings, which are the Mental Health First Aid and the Youth Mental Health First Aid. If you would like to take one of our classes, which is free of charge that we offer to the community, please feel free to reach out to us at 442-265-7442. If you'd like to reach out to the radio show, please contact us at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. And again, we thank you for joining us. And today we have the pleasure of having Gina Vargas, who's the Executive Director of Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions, and Christian Gamble, who is the Outreach Specialist for Woman Haven, the Center for Family Solutions. I'd like to thank you both for taking the time to join us and for helping us enlighten Imperial County with all the wonderful services that you offer to the people of Imperial County. This service is a very needed service and something that, you know, people don't know if they are ever going to use it or are going to need it. Or most especially, they may have a loved one who may need the service. And we always want to have information and know how to contact the folks at Woman Haven, because you never know when, you know, you may come upon somebody who might need the service. So they do have a 24-hour crisis hotline, which is 760-353-8530. And their office is located at 510 West Main Street in the city of El Centro. So with all of that said, I need to stop talking and I need to let Gina and Christian start talking. So thank you so much and welcome both of you.
Thank you, Patricia. It's great to be here. Thank you.
So Woman Haven, you know, Gina and Christian and I were kind of talking a little bit. It has a rich history. And Gina, would you care to tell us a little bit about the history of Woman Haven?
Yes. Woman Haven has been in Imperial Valley celebrating 46 years. We started in Hopeville through two wonderful women who seen that there was a need 46 years ago, and they had a passion and a desire to say, when home is not a safe place, there at that time, predominantly the women, it was created to be able, and the name comes from Woman Haven because that's who they wanted to reach out to when home was not a safe place. So they opened up the doors in Hopeville, and they opened up with an emergency shelter, feeling that if they did call and they found the strength and they found a way to get out, that they needed some place to go to, because they need the they needed the resources and a place to leave as an emergency, a place to be able to go. So they opened their doors, and that's how we started, as an emergency shelter, being able to, for anyone to be able to leave any time of the day, 24/7, to be able to have a safe place to go to. So we are very thankful to Ellis Armstrong and Virginia Samaha from Hopeville that were able to have that foresight and say, we want to make that change and we want to give them a safe home. And since then, we have evolved from our services from just the core of an emergency shelter to be able to have evolved to other services, such as our crisis walk-in center as well.
And that's really important that you guys have been here so long. And I can just imagine the countless amount of people, because we want to, you know, a lot of times people think that domestic violence is just towards women. It can be towards men. And this is something that we want to, you know, make sure that people know that both men and women are, I'm not going to say welcome, that's not the right word, but that are accepted and are taken in and are assisted at your shelter and for all the services that you guys offer.
And that's a great point how you bring that up, because statistically in the U.S., 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner violence. And it's not just a private issue, but it's a community issue. And so our name could be misleading to think it's only for women, but we also serve men. And we've had an increase of men coming forward and seeking not so much shelter, but they do seek assistance in our walk-in center for our crisis, seeking a temporary restraining order, or just to speak to one of our counselors to know what their choices are and what path they could take. You know, most people come in with just a empty toolbox, not knowing what to do, don't even know that we exist, and they're lost and they don't know what to do. And so we're able to provide them the tools needed to make the choices for what they want to do for themselves and to make a home a safe place. And so we've evolved since then. And so we do see many women and men come through our doors who are in need of seeking a safe home, whether their safe home is remaining in their home with a temporary restraining order or seeking emergency shelter. We have now since then evolved to 3 emergency shelters with 41 beds to be able to give those individuals who home is not a safe place to come in. And those individuals who have children, we welcome them with their children and give them a, you know, safe place to sleep, showers, the toiletries, food, transportation. We give them the array of services needed so they don't have to think about that. They could just think about their safety and what they need to do to mend the pieces to their move forward in their lives and what the next steps are going to look like, you know. So that at least gives them that comfort and having that secure shelter to go into, knowing that they have a warm bed, blankets, and a shower, and their kids feel safe. That's the peace of mind that we're able to provide them when they are in need.
You know, that's something that's so important, because somebody who may not know where to turn, and may not have the ability, especially the financial, because, you know, to be able to take yourself and your children to a hotel, if you don't have a family member that can take you in, is a big thing. I mean, I'm sure that that's probably one of the reasons why people decide to stay and, you know, stay in that, that interpersonal violent relationship, because How am I going to feed my kids? How are they going to go? Where am I going to sleep? You know, it's too hot to sleep outside, and it's too difficult. I mean, so for you guys to pretty much open your doors and say, here's some food, here's some clothing, here's shelter, here's a shower. For me, you know, a shower kind of makes me so much better.
Yeah, the shower does make you just feel that to where you could be able to feel relaxed and something just so simple, but makes such an impact on there. And so we do, you know, provide them that emergency shelter, that first step that is needed to be able to make those steps, and giving them that sense of security. And when we look at abuse, most people think of just the physical component of it. Well, he doesn't hit me. You know, I don't have any, you know, bruises. He, you know, doesn't hit me. And that's what people think of the most of when they think about domestic violence. But in reality, it's deeper than that. It's the emotional and psychological abuse and the tearing down of such a strong person when they first fell in love. And then they just chisel away at that person. And even though sometimes, you know, it doesn't discriminate. It could be all walks of life, all economical status, and, you know, some executives and some people in power and some people so prominent in our community, or in communities, I should say, not necessarily ours, but in communities, that this is happening behind their closed doors. But how do you come forward and say this is happening to me because everyone sees you so strong? And so how could that be happening to you? Because in public, you're just like, you're so mighty. But behind closed doors, it's really happening. So some people are reluctant to come out and say this is happening to me, either to because they're embarrassed.
Yeah. And it's hard to get help because, you know, you have, you know, some people have, you know, their home, you know, they have, you know, they're invested into it. And a lot of times, you know, people think, if I leave my home, what am I going to have? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And, you know, earlier before the show, we were talking about the cycle of abuse and the different types of abuse that happen. And so is there, can you kind of explain that to our listening audience?
Yeah, there's many, well, most people think of just the physical abuse. And they think that, and there is that physical abuse, and that is just like, just, that is evident of what it is. And even in the midst of that physical abuse, it could still be, you know, it's from hitting, slapping, choking, using weapons. And that one is seems obvious, but on that component of it, then there's the emotional and psychological abuse, which is the verbal attacks, the threats, the manipulation, or the, you know, the actions of undermining a person's self-worth or their confidence and mental health well-being. It just chisels away at them. And they say that these are individuals where they had, those who had a strong confidence level, that they just start to chisel away and they start believing that. Then there's also the sexual abuse. And that does, some people had a belief that, well, we are married or my partner, sexual abuse is just sexual, the intimate component of a relationship is just a given. And so they don't realize that if it's forced in a relationship and a person said, no, it is sexual abuse. And because it's unwanted touching. And many individuals feel that it's just a given that you're in that relationship and that's just part of it, not realizing that it is. There's a financial economic component of it, and where they are very controlling over finances, limiting the access of money and preventing someone from working or maintaining dependency. It's even like from putting gas in your car. Like, you only have one full tank of gas, and that has to last you a week and a half. Not saying that means you cannot go anywhere else to go visit a friend or visit, you know, anywhere else, because your gas has to last you a week and a half. And that is a form of abuse, too, where they're just controlling the way where you go. And by having that financial control, that you can't have any more money to put gas in your car because you're only supposed to go from work to home. There's also the digital abuse as well, that we've seen it with technology, where there's the harassing, stalking, and controlling someone, such as monitoring their social media, sending threatening messages, or using the GPS tracking. Individuals might think like, oh, he just cares about me, or he just wants to know, but it's not anything controlling. But it is a form of abuse as well. And there's the verbal abuse, the belittling, insulting, threatening, such as name-calling, yelling, constant criticism. And there you go again, where a person chisels away at your self-esteem. And at some point, it just chisels away at your self-confidence. And a strong person becomes to start to get chiseled away.
And that's the thing, is that whole cycle of abuse, you know, a person, and I'm not going to say woman, but a person, you know, gets chiseled away little by little by little. And for them to find that inner fortitude to be able to say enough is enough. And, you know, different people have their different breaking points. You know, I've heard women that, you know, the minute he hit my child, that was my point. And, you know, they've been abused, and they'd always, like, you know, people said, oh, the black guy, oh, I walked into the door, I did this, and always trying to justify the behavior of the abuser because, you know, it's not socially acceptable. And, you know, oh my God, what are people going to think? And, you know, we live in a small area, and not to say that it doesn't happen in a big area, you know, where people are embarrassed or ashamed or anything like that. And that's kind of one of the reasons that we want to do these kind of shows, so that people will know that it's not an embarrassing thing, that it happens, and unfortunately it happens more than we think it does. And so that people can come out and seek services and not be afraid, and not be, you know, you guys offer anonymity and confidentiality, and people can just go in and, like you said earlier, kind of, you know, see what's available to them, see how they can get help, and until they have that inner fortitude to walk away, you know. So as say I have a friend who's suffering from domestic abuse, or I should say domestic violence or intimate partner violence, what can I do? How can I stop or help stop this cycle?
So the community, it's important for the community to be aware of the services and to also be aware of the signs of domestic violence. And the only way we're going to really reduce it in our community is by becoming informed and knowing the signs of abuse. Because we need the community involvement to raise the awareness about abuse, encourage individuals to identify what unhealthy patterns are in their own, you know, or other relationships.
You know, and that's sometimes really difficult because, you know, sometimes we have a person that says, oh, they love me because they always follow me around. They want to make sure that I'm safe. Or, oh, because I read stories on the internet and stuff like that about where, you know, people put trackers on the cars, and now you can do that. I mean, they sell those on Amazon. And, you know, people can follow another person's, I'm not going to say footsteps, but they can pretty much follow their footsteps. I mean, there's ways on the phone to see where people are at and their locations and things like that. So, you know, I think that as people in a relationship, we need to know that is not okay. You know, it's okay to call, you know, when you're not home by 7 and say, hey, are you okay? But it's not okay for somebody to ask you to check in every 5 minutes when you're out to the grocery store or whatever, or, you know, they come home and you know, they're, where were you? How come you weren't here? And you were supposed to be home at 5 and it's now 5:05. Who were you with? Or, you know, those things like that. And that we want to make sure that people can can, like, say, walk into your office or give you a call and to find out what can I do and when is this not right and when should I be worried and when should I say, well, you know, they're just kind of, you know, they want to make sure that I'm safe. But I guess it's every person has a different melting, a different point where they don't feel that it's right. And you have to reach that point to be able to go out and get the help that you need. So say, for example, I have, God, I don't even, no, this is not something, but I mean, say, for example, I need to go in and help and get help. What would I do? What would be my first step? What would I do to either call or locate or get some information as to what I could do? What does the first step look like?
The first step is to call our crisis line. And as you mentioned, you gave the number out before. To call our crisis line, and through there, then the counselor on the other end can share with you what services are available or what, and to hear you out and to be able to let you know, what we could provide or what your steps could be that, you know, if your need was, if you were fearing because you didn't have a place to go to, that to let them know that we have our emergency shelter. But say if the person needed to want it to be able to stay in their home, but they just wanted this person to stop hurting them, then they can call, they could be seeing one of our advocates, and they can assist them with the legal process for obtaining a temporary restraining order, or to let them know, you know, what a safety packet looks like, to be able to know how to keep themselves safe. That's also one of a dangerous point for a person leaving a relationship, yeah, is that where that person says they're going to leave and they tell the abuser they're going to leave. And that's where we have seen at some points where that person has then, you know, it turns deadly. And so we want to make sure that they do it in a safe manner to keep themselves safe and their children safe as well when they're making those steps. But it's through a phone call away to be able to seek those services and then make an appointment to see one of our advocates.
And so once they, now your services are totally free of charge. So correct. So if I decide that I need to go in, is there a fee or is there something that I need to pay or is there anything that I should take with me?
Our services are free of charge to victims of domestic violence, and we're able to offer that through that. And so that's where we would depend on community support to be able to assist them, the victims that come through our doors who are feeling that safe is not a safe place to be. And many of them financially don't have the means to be able to make that happen. And so we're there for them free of charge.
And your service, you know, like if somebody needs something at 2:00 in the morning, they can call your number and get assistance at that time?
Yes, we have a 24-hour crisis line. And so our services are available 24/7. Through our hotline and also through our emergency shelter. When home is not a safe place, they could flee at any time, any hour, and we would be able to assist them.
And that's important because a lot of times things happen at a time. It's like, oh, I have to wait till 8:00 in the morning when the office opens so that I can get some assistance. And you guys are there ready, willing, and able to help these folks that may need your help in the middle of the night or when a situation has gotten so bad that, you know, you're not able to stay there anymore because either of the abuse that's going on or like I said, you've hit your point. You've hit your point where you just can't take this anymore. So
no, that is very true that we need to be able to know that, to be able to offer that, but also for them to feel comfortable calling 911 when they're not feeling safe, and being okay with calling 911 and not feeling reluctant for because of the neighbors or because you're embarrassed or the reaction or they know me. How comfortable are you going to be with placing that call 911 when you're not in a safe place, and teaching your children that it's okay to call if they don't feel safe to comfortably call 911 so that you can get help?
So we are going to take a brief break. We are talking with Gina Vargas, who's the executive director of Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions, and Christian Gamble, who's an outreach specialist for Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions. So we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for coming back to our second segment of Let's Talk About It. My name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I am the host of Let's Talk About It. Today, we have the pleasure and the honor of having Gina Vargas, who's the executive director of Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions. And we have Christian Gamble, who's an outreach specialist for Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions. Our first segment, we've been talking about, the domestic violence or the interpersonal violence and, the place that here in Imperial County where you can go and get assistance if you ever happen to come into that kind of a situation, and we want to make sure that it's readily available. But the next thing we want to talk about is the wellness program that Woman Haven has to offer their clients. So, Christian, I hear that you're the one that's going to be talking a little bit about that. So, can you care to elaborate about the Woman Haven Wellness Program? Try saying that three times fast.
So our Woman Haven has been since 2010. And with that program, we provide counseling and therapy services for anyone in the Imperial County. As Gina mentioned, it's for men, women, and children. And you don't necessarily have to be a victim of domestic violence if you're going through a tough situation, if you need any counseling, or you're going through depression, anxiety, any form of mental state where you feel like you need to talk to someone. We do have our counselors. Right now we have 3 counselors and 3 rehab techs, and we provide the services via Zoom or in person. Usually they consist from 14 to 16 sessions of therapy. And as long as you live here in Imperial County and you have Medi-Cal insurance, you're able to obtain the services with us. We don't have a waiting list, and it's really accessible.
Wow, that's awesome. So you talked about therapy services. So is there kind of like an assessment or something that you have to do? Or you said that don't have to be victims of domestic violence? Or
yes. That is correct. So you don't need to be a victim of domestic violence. If you, like I mentioned, if you feel the need or you would like to talk to someone for counseling, we do an assessment as well. And we invite anyone that is in need of those services to call our number as well, or visit our location, which is 105 Fifth North Street in El Centro, and you can visit us there, and we'll do an assessment and also do an intake, and then from there evaluate and see also if you need any other services too, since we provide linkages and referrals too as well.
So if I go in and I want to get individual service or individual therapy services with you guys, and I go in for an assessment, what does an assessment consist of? I mean, what do you do in an assessment? About how long does it take? What happens?
Yeah, so they usually ask you a variety of questions to know, to better understand you and your needs as well. Usually it takes about an hour, and each session as well, when you go to the your therapy sessions, they do take an hour. And the assessment is just to get to know you better, seeing what you need, how we can better serve you. If maybe we can also refer you to another agency as well that can provide you assistance if you feel like with us, you know, let's say you want the therapy, but also you need some other services as well. So it's just for us to get a record of the patient or the client in this case and see how we can better serve them, and also what they would need as therapy. What also to get to know, like, oh, maybe since there's all these forms of therapy, like there's art therapy, there's also cognitive therapy, see what works best for them.
That's awesome, because, you know, not everyone is going to fit in one box, you know, and you have to offer different services or different things so that, you know, you meet a wide variety of people. So we need to make sure that you fit in the appropriate type of therapy. So you mentioned, and Gina had mentioned earlier, that you have like case management services or mental health rehab techs that do targeted case management. Can you talk a little bit about that? What do they do? How would I get those kind of services?
So, like I mentioned, you can call our number, which is 760-337-3915 for a wellness program. And they will answer your call. And they will, like I said, you can talk to them about your situation, that you need the services. And also, case management is out there. Like, for example, you need also housing services too. We have a case manager in our wellness program that also is providing outreach as well, and also helping those that are also needing other services besides wellness. So that way we can get them better suited in any services that they might need besides therapy.
Okay, so say for example, I'm just like, maybe I'm new to this area and I need some help figuring things out. First off, navigating the Imperial Valley, because, you know, we stretch out so far, and, you know, if I'm up in, say, the north end in Island, there may not be a lot of services up there. So you guys would be able to say, okay, well, she lives in Island, she may not have transportation, so let's see what we can find for her up there. And maybe do you guys help people like get food, or do you help people with housing vouchers? I mean, how would, like, on the long term for case management, how would that work?
Yeah. So if the client is requesting food, we do have food items that we provide them. We do have like a pantry of items that we can give them. And also, let's say they also want to get help with like food stamps, or they need help with getting any other benefits, we help them enlist them into that. Our housing program also does that. And we do provide the clothing vouchers that you mentioned with their thrift store. So there is a process for it. But if the client is requesting clothing for them or their families or their children, we're able to provide that too. And the case manager will tell them the steps that they need, and also provide them any other resources that are available as well.
Okay, so that's awesome. I mean, in addition to offering people, you know, temporary shelter when they're in a bad situation and trying to get out of the bad situation, you're also trying to get them back into the community so that they're not so fearful and, I don't know how to say this politely, but don't want to go back to the situation, because that's the only place that they have food, clothing, and shelter. And, you know, that makes a big difference for somebody, because if say the abuser or the person that is inflicting this domestic violence on the person is the sole means of support, which in a lot of cases, that's one way, you know, that people kind of keep the abusee or the people, the victim of domestic violence in the home, you know, because they have that financial control over them. And so now you're, in addition to, like I said earlier, helping them with food and shelter, and now you can have somebody who can help them get, you know, ongoing food, getting them, getting them programs like Medi-Cal and, you know, the food distribution places so that they can help have an ongoing thing and kind of help them, you know and navigate the services of Imperial County, because we are, like I said earlier, we're so spread out. Imperial County is, it goes from Riverside County to the Arizona border. I mean, we're a big area. We may not have a huge population, but we're a big area land-wise. And so it makes it, hard sometimes for people to navigate and to know where things are. And, it's just difficult. And when your mind is somewhere else and you're probably not thinking clearly, and, you've uprooted your children possibly to take them to a different area and they're going maybe to a different school, all those things are happening. And for a mom to try and find housing, well, not a mom, a person who is a victim of domestic violence, trying to navigate food and trying to navigate shelter and trying to navigate these things, that's a lot of difficulty. Your mind is just everywhere. And for you guys to offer those services to them is phenomenal, because, like I said, you may not be thinking clearly. You're so enmeshed in what's going on inside of you and trying to just get ahead and trying to get away from the situation. And possibly the person who's inflicting that abuse is still contacting you or trying to contact you through fans or family, or like Gina said earlier, there's the digital stalking now because of, so much social media. So, it's a big help that you guys are doing to help ease those little things that are so basic to our lives. It's the basis of all our foundation, food, clothing, and shelter, well, air too, but it's the basis. And, to have those areas, somebody help you navigate and get those basics is just phenomenal, because otherwise you may not.
Especially for those that are not really aware of the services that are out there, the case managers will help them, discover those places. Like I mentioned, if they need any Medi-Cal services or any food stamps or any other benefits that they might need. I know also that they apply for the Project Food Box. That is a new program that is out there. So we try to, give them those options and see, okay, maybe you need assistance with WIC, maybe you need assistance with another program. So we just try to help them sustain themselves. And once they finish with the program and they feel comfortable, make them feel self-empowered and make them feel that they are independent and that they can be with themselves, or even if they have children, to be fully sufficient and to be able to overcome that tough situation that they were in, whether or not they were in a domestic violence relationship or if they're just trying to get counseling services.
And that's really important, because a lot of times people just need that extra little help. So, you're helping them get themselves back together, regain that self-esteem that was chiseled away, and now they may need that extra help. They, it could be a single parent now having, two, three children, and really who do they have to talk to? But now they have you guys that they can talk to, and they can start individual therapy services and counseling. Now, is the counseling available for anybody of any age, or is it just adults? Or
it's for men, women, and children of all ages. I believe the age is from 5 to above.
Okay.
And that's also another reason why we do the assessment too, because I know there's children out there. We also try to see if they have any special needs or any accommodations that we need to make. Especially with children, we try to do the sessions in person, just because sometimes in Zoom it can be a little hard for them, or maybe they might not concentrate. So we just try our best to get to know the client and see how we can best meet their needs.
And that's really important, because, the kids are little and kids are resilient, but they still may need, because they don't have that other parent now in or partner or whatever in the house anymore, and they're not in the house. So they're not seeing that person on a daily basis who they may have had a relationship with. And so now they may need to talk to somebody. because their, you know, chances are, you know, their lives have become different now. You know, they might have had to have left their toys and their PS whatevers that they had, and because they needed to leave quickly. And, you know, that I can see where that would be hard for a child to, because, you know, kids, like I said, kids are resilient, but they still know that they don't have their own bed that they're sleeping in. And so for you guys to step in and help and do those kind of things for folks and to give, you know, the parent and the children the counseling and the services that they need, in addition to giving them the shelter and getting them out of that bad situation, that is just phenomenal, because if they didn't have you guys, they may not have anybody, you know, and that's hard.
Yes. And also domestic violence doesn't just affect the partner, but if there's children as well, it also affects them. And it is a cycle as well. So we have created a campaign that it's called It Hurts Me Too, which is demonstrating how children and also anyone that is in the household is affected by domestic violence too, because it also impacts them emotionally and also on their grades when they're growing, on their habits as well, on their behavior. So we try to also reach out not just to the victim, but the whole household itself that is going through that situation.
So we're going to take another break, and we are talking with Gina Vargas, who's the Executive Director of Woman Haven and Center for Family Solutions, and Christian Gamble, who's the Outreach Specialist for Woman Haven and Center for Family Solutions. So join us right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. We're on the start of our third segment. Today we have the pleasure and the honor of speaking with Gina Vargas, who is the Executive Director of Woman Haven and Center for Family Solutions, and Christian Gamble, who's the Outreach Specialist for Woman Haven and Center for Family Solutions. We've been talking about all the wonderful services that they have to offer victims of domestic violence or victims of interpersonal violence. And hopefully you'll never need to use the service, or hopefully you will never need to have a friend or a family member that needs to use the service, but they're here for you in case you do. And that's why we like doing these kind of shows, so that people know the services that are out there in Imperial County and the services that you can kind of keep in your back pocket in case you come across somebody or even a family member or a friend that may need the service, and they're here willing and able to help. And so what we kind of want to do in this last segment, and I'm going to stop talking because I tend to talk too much, and I'm going to let Christian and Gina talk about events that they have coming up, and where to, give your address and your phone numbers, your emergency numbers, just your contact, I guess your contact information is what I want to say.
Thank you, Patricia. Christian and I will both be sharing this component of it. We are excited to be able to start kicking off our October Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And our theme this year is Everyone Knows Someone, because the reality is domestic violence affects more people than we often realize. Whether it's a friend, a family member, or a coworker, it is an issue that touches everyone. And I did like how you mentioned just tuck it away in your back pocket. Cell phones are very used now. Tuck away someone's support number in your phone, in your back pocket, to be able to reach out and connect with someone, because we never know when we will need that number and you're going to be wanting to call someone to say, where do I call? So our theme this year, everyone knows someone, and if we can engrave that within ourselves to know that it doesn't discriminate, and at some point, unfortunately, we will know someone who it has impact. And if you don't know, then maybe not seeing the signs or haven't become aware it, as to what is domestic violence. But with that, I will have Christian share about one of our signature events, and that is Christian.
Okay. So on October 25th, this is on a Friday, we will be having our 7th annual Garden of Hope Mariposa Gala. This event will be, like I said, at the Old Eucalyptus, and it's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And during this event, we honor survivors of domestic violence that share their story, that empower others, and also we honor advocates too, also known as our Visionary Award, for anyone that has provided dedication and advocacy to prevent domestic violence in Imperial County. So this event is really impactful and meaningful because we invite also sponsors and also individuals that would like to participate to know about domestic violence, to gain awareness together, and to honor those that have encountered this situation. Another event that we do also have is our Remember My Name Memorial, which is on October 4th on a Friday as well. And this is a memorial to those that have passed away due to domestic violence. And we have this at Johnny Burrito. We collaborate with Johnny Burrito. This is our third year doing it. And it's a fundraiser to support our programs and services and also victims of domestic violence, and also to gain awareness together of those that have passed away of domestic violence.
That one is called Remember My Name. It's important to be able to say Remember My Name, because we've had one too many in our community, and most recently within the last 120 days, we've lost two. And to know that it does exist here, and the Remember My Name, this one we honor Amber Bryant, but we have many victims who have been taken from us here in Imperial County, and we want to bring awareness to the community on that.
And that's really important. And you know, we do convey our condolences to the family and friends of the people that we have lost. And again, why we want to make sure that everybody knows about your services so that we don't lose another one.
Yes.
And we had briefly talked about the thrift store.
Yes.
And so we had talked amongst ourselves. We haven't talked to the public. And we need to let the public know, because that's who needs to hear about this stuff. So your thrift store, now that is located where? And
742 West Main Street in El Centro. It's by the courthouse. You go past the stoplight, and then on your left-hand side, you're going to see the big marquee that says Woman Haven Thrift Store.
And so if I need to donate some items, is there a number that I call to before I go by there, or do I just take my gently used items, or how do I do?
So we have a curbside drop-off center where you can drop off your items. We're open from Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5 is our hours from Monday through Friday, and from Saturdays is from 9 to 4, and you can park your car there where the parking lot is, and you can drop off your items. There's like a alleyway as well where they take your items, and they'll give you a receipt for your taxes. And also donations are accepted as long as they're gently used. So it can be clothing, furniture, electronics, anything that you have in your home. And right now, I know it's a season change, so everyone's donating their winter items or winter clothing, Halloween decorations. So we invite anyone that, you know, has donations or stuff that is gently used that they don't want it, to donate it to our thrift store to give it a second life and to repurpose it too.
You know, yeah. Our thrift store is located at 727 Main Street And so we are excited about that new, brand new location that we opened up. We were able to expand our thrift store from recently. And so we're able to provide that array of services to individuals who are in need. We also provide clothing vouchers to the community to be able to give when those individuals can't afford clothing. We love to give back to the community in that way. And we also make it to where it's, individuals can go back and purchase it at an affordable prices. But also we opened it based off of when, you know, victims of domestic violence would come into our shelters with nothing on their backs. We were able to give them the clothing that the community gave so that they wouldn't, so they would have some nice clean clothes for them to wear and not having to worry about that. And so that's how we originally started with our thrift store, to be able to give back to those in our emergency shelter. And since then, we've been able to now provide that to the community at large. And the funds that come through there are actually to be able to help sustain our programs for victims of domestic violence. The funding that comes through there helps support our shelter, our walk-in center, our outreach center, to bring that prevention and awareness to the community. So it is a big part of Woman Haven's programs, but we're also able there to be able to help individuals who don't have, have never been in the workforce, or are needing to get back into the workforce, or needing that soft skill training. We're able to help them obtain that in at our thrift store as well. And so we feel it's not just like secondhand clothes, but we like to say it's a second life to clothes and used items such as furniture and housing frames and a lot of different things to help set up your home and make it nice and fresh with the second life of gently used items given so generously by the community. So we appreciate the community that picks Woman Haven as their choice, knowing that it's giving back to the community by donating their items, and that other individuals would be able to go in there and afford things. Well, that same token, it helps Woman Haven sustain their programs.
Yeah, and that's really true, because, you know, we have our, here I'm going on my soapbox, these big landfills that have a lot of stuff where, you know, people can donate, and it's a tax deduction, so it is a win-win. And there's a lot of gently used items, and there's a big push with crafters to go out there and look for items that they can repurpose and redo and even sell. I mean, I follow a lot of different groups and stuff on the internet that do that. And so you never know what treasures are going to be in there. So go in, take a look and see what items there are. You know, you never know what you can, you know, it's your creativity is limitless. What you can do with a lot of these items that you find there, these treasures that you find.
And donate their items that, you know, that they're no longer using, or, you know, their family has moved away. And there's stuff that someone has treasured for so long, but they can't take it with them. And so they go, it's like a collectible or a vintage item. And so there's always something new and different on the shelf. And so it's just one of those things that you just need to go in daily and just to go see what else is new. And we do have individuals that go in and purchase and then go and resell because they found a great deal, and that they're able to put it, on sale further from what we do, but they're able to do that. And, you know, they help themselves financially, economically, to sustain their household through items they find there at our thrift store. So it's a win-win. Going green is really big for the environment. How do we continue to sustain our environment? So we need to ensure that we're able to be able to do that. And so, you know, going through the thrift store and getting, you know, someone's gently used jeans, or, you know, a nice shirt or a vintage shirt. It's, we want to give an image that it's more than just, it's a different store to be able to go and buy. And also one of those things to not feel that it used to have a stigma that, oh, it's like secondhand clothes. but it's more than that. It's actually, it's nice clothes, and you have an ability to have an affordable budget and to be able to use your monies for other purposes while you're styling something that is brand new to you. And you could, you know, be a trender in that. So it has a lot of great opportunities to be able to help the community and its households.
Very true. Very true. And we want to do that. We want to support this wonderful agency that supports so many people gives of themselves and helping people when they're in dire need. And you know, we have a lot, we have agencies that help people, but what you guys are doing to help these people when they're in a dire time of need, because a lot of times when you want to get out of a situation, the situation is so bad, you find that there's no door, and you guys are the door. You guys are the opening, and you know, you go in there, and it's everything. All the services are confidential. Everything is, you know, it's not going to be on Facebook in the afternoon, and you know, you don't judge, you nothing. You just go in there, and you want to help this person. And it takes a special group of people to be able to do that and just, you know, not judge and just, we're here to help.
We mentioned something earlier in our break about confidentiality. I'm sorry to interrupt there, but I wanted to make sure that we got that out there about the confidentiality, that all our services are confidential. So not to worry that we're not going to be sharing it and taking it anywhere. So it's confidential, and that information stays with us. And so we ensure that that information is secure so that you feel comfortable coming through our shelter, our walk-in center, our wellness center, that your information is kept confidential and not shared forward with anyone. So that's really important for them to know. And that.
Well, we're coming to the end of our show today, and I want to make sure that Gina and Christian have a couple of seconds to tell people out there how they can contact Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions, or your regular number, your after-hours number, so that people will be able to contact you in case the need is there or the need arises in their home.
Woman Haven has a 24-hour crisis hotline, 760-353-8530. And that is a number to know and memorize, and that one provides linkages to our other telephone systems. If anyone is in need of services, that is your starting point. But I also do want to share with individuals that who are going through this and maybe listening to it, that we are not saying that your journey is going to be easy. It takes a lot of courage and strength to be able to make those steps to end the violence in your life, or to make that choice to not want to live that way. And we recognize that, and we applaud you for being able to make that phone call to our hotline, to be aware of the services, and to make that step towards working towards ending that abuse in your life. We also have a support group called Healing Together, and we have that on a weekly basis, and we have that information on our website to be able to see. We have English and Spanish. They alternate every other Tuesday. Healing Together helps you, whether you're going through it or whether you've left it, on how to mend the pieces or how to be able to make that bridge for you to leave in a safe way that relationship. And so, but they can rebuild their lives, and we can help them as a society together by becoming aware and becoming informed of the services and learning to reach out to an individual that we know that is going through something, and letting them know of our phone number, our services, so that they could find the strength through you to make those next steps.
And with those wonderful words of encouragement, we want to thank Gina Vargas, who's the executive director, and Christian Gamble, who's the outreach specialist of Woman Haven, a Center for Family Solutions. We thank you for joining us today, and we want to thank our guests. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio under the direction of Mario Espinosa, with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. Opening and closing narration is provided by Gene Brister. Co-hosts for tonight's program were Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Let's Talk About It brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. This program is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Leticia Plancarte, Garcia, Director.